Can you imagine getting the finger pointed at you and realizing you're in a no-win situation? Realizing that instead of everything you've been taught your entire life being true, the opposite is now true, that you have to prove yourself innocent. Not that you're thought to be innocent, not that they will give you a chance to speak and hear your side story, none of that. It's all been disregarded. The finger's been pointed at you. You're guilty. And you will be held to account. Can you imagine that situation? Well, Renee Jolly is the parent of a son who was falsely accused by a female student and wrongfully expelled from his university. Jolly believes in fairness and due process for all students on all university campuses across this nation. And not just for her son. She joins me now. Renee Jolly, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on this morning.
I mean, it's a gut-wrenching idea. The finger's pointed at you. An allegation has been made, and there's no proof. There's no evidence. There's nothing to substantiate it. Just an allegation. And how many times in the last few years have we heard about allegations ruining reputations, ruining lives? The Duke lacrosse team comes to mind, for example. And people get dragged through the mud and destroyed, much like your son. Tell us real quickly the 30,000-foot view of that story.
Yeah, absolutely. So he was a contracted Army ROTC cadet on full scholarship at a private university. His case is under investigation right now by the Department of Education Office of Civil Rights for the way the school handled it. But he was expelled for an allegation of sexual assault, which, when in fact the evidence and the facts, and the school knew this, the school investigators knew this, showed that he was the one who was more likely than not sexually assaulted by his accuser while he was passed out. And the evidence that they had included photographs, it included key witness statements that pointed to her being the perpetrator, not him. And but yet, like you said, because he was presumed guilty at the outset,
right?
You know, training is start by believing, where you believe that what the accuser says is true.
Say that again. Start by believing. What is that?
So start by believing. It is basically a training that is going across not only university campuses for their investigators, but also police departments across the nation.
And that's what it's called? Start by believing?
Yep.
That's outrageous.
Campaign. Yeah, it trains investigators to begin an investigation by presuming the guilt of the accused, and they are told to operate from starting the presumption that the report has merit. So basically, we are moving away from, as a society, in our criminal justice system or our campus kangaroo court system, that a person is presumed innocent until guilty. And so we're moving away from thorough, objective, fair, non-biased investigations into the start by believing, which has been well-funded by the Department of Justice. Over $1.4 million has been given towards this campaign. In order to do this training.
So a commission in the state of Arizona by the governor there advised state criminal justice agencies to reject Start by Believing. We've got 150 professors, legal experts, law professors, and so forth saying that this victim-centered investigation is wrong, Start by Believing. I can't even believe that I've never heard of this, Start by Believing. This is an outrageous affront to American jurisprudence, is it not?
It absolutely is. And, you know, and it's something that we're learning about because they're becoming more vocal. In fact, Start by Believing is having an annual Start by Believing Day in just a couple weeks up in Washington, D.C. But what people don't know, and what I really want your listeners to understand, is that, you know, the guidance that this training is giving investigators, it's training them really in five controversial concepts. One is that the investigator is not an independent fact finder. They're rather an agent of the prosecutor or, you know, looking to find guilt in the accused. The allegations are assumed to be true, and the complainant should be regarded as a victim before there's even proof that there's a victim. The third thing is that the investigator should discount the possibility that this is even a false allegation. So it's considered as true at the beginning. The fourth thing is that inconsistencies in the complainant statements are
indications of guilt.
Right. In the case of guilt, should not be interpreted as being false.
Because they'll argue they've been traumatized, and so therefore, if they can't get their story straight, then the person that they're accusing with a story that makes no sense, he is guilty. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yes. Go on.
Yeah, and then the last thing is that exculpatory statements provided by the accused or the suspect should have little bearing on the findings in the investigative report.
So what can be done?
I'll tell you what, Steve, this is exactly what happened with my son. In the situation at his school, he had no presumption of innocence. He was not given even notice of what the allegations were or who was naming him. He didn't get a chance to review the evidence. He didn't get a chance to cross-examine or question anything. He didn't get the right to a hearing.
No, of course not. He's lucky that luckily they didn't take him out at dawn and just have him shot summarily. I'm almost joking. Let me ask you this. We got about a minute left here. What can people do? What can we do to change this? Because as you know, it's wrong. And I've told people for 10 years on this program, I fear more for my son going to college than I do for my daughter for the very reasons you've outlined. What can we do?
So I would ask your listeners to contact the Attorney General by just going to justice.gov and send him a strong message to suspend funding for sham Start by Believing investigation training. That it has to stop. And also be vocal in your conversations with other people to start by listening. We need to get back to our constitutional protections, whether or not you're on a college campus. Because for university students, once they walk onto a college campus, if they are a male student, the likelihood is that they are going to lose their constitutional protections.
And that's outrageous. All right, real quickly, do you have a Facebook page, a website? What do you need, real quick?
So saveservices.org is a good website that has a lot of information about this Start by Believing training. And I would go there and go to justice.gov and make a statement to the Attorney General.
All right. Greatly appreciate it. Renee Jolly, well done today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Steve, for having me on. Have a good day.
Quick break. It's time to take a quick break. We'll get some sports and such right after this on The Steve Gerber Show.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And, well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.